right. Thank you. That's a blessing. Appreciate that. He'll turn your darkness into day as well. If you're not sure you're saved today, he sure wants to save your soul. He wants to give you a home in heaven, and he wants you to be a part of this scene in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. Of course, my Sunday school class, we're going through Revelation, and we're not quite to Revelation 19 after however many years we've been on this, but we're actually in Revelation 7 still, but we'll get there. But praise the Lord, there's going to be a wedding. That's what the Bible says here. There's going to be a wedding. We are, the theme for 2013 is such a time as this, and talking about the story of Esther and how God brought her to the place that she was for such a time as this. And we're all still here for such a time as this. This is our time. And I used to say all the time that, well, you know, back in my day, well, it's still my day. And as long as the old heart's still pumping blood and the lungs are taking care of oxygen and I'm still standing upright and able to preach and able to serve God, it's still my day. Amen. And it's our time. And we have an opportunity to do something for God. And so every month we've had a different theme to go along with our yearly theme of such a time as this. And this month, it's a time for love, of course, with Valentine's Day and all that. I thought we'd take advantage of that. And so a time for love is the month of February. And we've seen the Savior's love. We've talked about the source of love. We have scriptural love in 1 Corinthians 13 on Wednesday nights. We're doing a study of that. And then last Sunday morning, I preached on the security of love. And today, I want to talk to you about a story of love. You know, the Bible is a love story. It's totally a love story. And if you don't get it, then you haven't really read your Bible, because it's so clear. The theme, of course, is God's love for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave. And that's God's kind of love. That's the kind of love we're supposed to have for each other, is that sort of love. It's called agape love. It is a giving love. It's a self-sacrificing kind of a love. But here, the Bible gives us a great illustration. In fact, last night at our wonderful time we had, our Valentine Gala, we had a great time last night, and Brother Fisher spoke. Excellent message, and he used Revelation 19 in his message and talked about one of God's great pictures that he has of our salvation. That's the picture of a marriage and a husband and a wife and the relationship there. And the Bible says that Jesus is the bridegroom and all the saved people are the bride. And so there's going to be a wedding one of these days, and praise the Lord for that. Well, we're going to go into the Old Testament, and we're going to see this story again the same way and compare it again to our life as a Christian, our life as from the time we get saved all the way through our life. And there's an Old Testament story that gives us that illustration, and it is a beautiful, beautiful story of love. Father, bless the message now. Please speak to our hearts. Thank you for all the good music and the message in that. And certainly, Lord, we thank you that you brought us from darkness into light. And we do look forward to what we just read about in Revelation 19, the wedding that is going to take place. But Lord, it's wonderful even today. It's wonderful now. And you're such a great God and so good to us. So please speak to us. And if there's someone here today who's not saved, please save him today, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's nothing like a wedding to illustrate a story of love. This wedding, of course, that we read about is in the future. It's all the saved people are the bride of Christ. And Jesus, of course, is the bridegroom. And in the Old Testament, as I said a while ago, God gives a beautiful story of love that I think symbolizes this one. If you ever want to just kind of get a big picture in a small story, which is a couple of chapters, but this story is a good picture of what happens when we get saved and how we get saved and all that. And the story, of course, is the story of Isaac and Rebecca, and it is certainly a story of love. Turn to Genesis 24, and we'll go through this quickly. We'll also talk about this tonight. Genesis 24 and verse 1. Genesis 24 and verse 1. And I just love reading this in the scripture. I love the story of Isaac and Rebekah, and I love the story of myself and my wife. I like thinking about our life story together. I like all of it, and it was fun hearing Brother Fisher. He was enjoying himself last night talking about he and Louise and giving some illustrations about their marriage, and I was fortunate to be able to see her off to my left, and a couple times he'd say, "And now I'm going to tell," and she kind of cringed a little bit, like, "What's he going to say?" And my wife is like that every service. She never knows, "What's he going to say?" And join the club. I don't either. But usually I have it all written down, but you just never know. But what a great thing to talk about our love. And you know, marriage is a great picture of our love. It's a great picture of God's love for us. And this story is one of my favorites in all the Bible. Genesis 24, verse 1. And number one, we see the Father's plan. Don't ever think things just happen, all right? Let's not get the idea ever that just, oh, you know, well, that was a coincidence. It's kind of like we were talking about the meteorite in Russia and the comet passing by 17,000 miles away. Sounds like a long way, but if it would have hit, I promise you, it would. That's good. Keep it far, far away as possible. But, boy, it's just amazing, that coincidence. There are no such thing as that. God has a plan. God always has a plan. Your being here today is God's plan. He planned for you to be here. Things do not just happen because of luck, okay? There is no such thing as luck. God has a plan. And so the Father's plan, we see in Genesis 24 and verse 1, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, probably over 54. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. He was much older than that. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." Why? Because he's going to give him an oath. And he said, "I'll make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And so the father, Abraham, has gone to his servant, Eliezer, and he has told the servant, "I want you to take a wife, go into another land, and I want you to find a wife for my son, Isaac." And wow, you know, this is an amazing thing. And so this servant now, Eliezer, that is in his hands, he has now made an oath, he has vowed to Abraham that he'll do exactly what Abraham said, and he is going to go into another country, another land, a month away as far as distance by a camel, and he's going to go find a son for Abraham, or a son, go find a bride for Abraham's son, Isaac. That's amazing. And the Bible tells us that Abraham's wife, Sarah, had died recently, and Isaac was sorrowful about losing his mother. And so now he sends his eldest, most trustworthy servant to find a bride for Isaac. He said, you know, that's gonna cheer up Isaac. Some of you fellas might not agree with that. How sad. My wife cheers me up. And I hope your wife cheers you up as well. But anyway, we'll not get into that right now. But his plan, he has a plan. And I love that. Abraham's got it all figured out. He goes to a trustworthy servant and he says, "Here's where I want you to go. And I want you to get a bride for my son, Isaac." And he has no question about it. It's not, flip a coin. It's not spin a spinner. Okay? It's not roll a dice. He has a plan. And he has a plan to get a bride for his son, Isaac. You know, God the Father also has a plan for his son, Jesus. He has a plan. He has a plan for his son, Jesus. And that is that there be a bride. That there be people who trust Jesus Christ as Savior. People who get saved, who are born again, who realize their need for a Savior, who realize the love of God, how He died on an old rugged cross to pay for their sin, who call upon Jesus to save their soul and forgive their sins, and to be that bride for His Son. God had a plan. God, again, it's not just spin a spinner and we'll just pick out a few. God had a plan. God had it all figured out before the foundation of this world was ever laid, before the first mountain was ever built, before the first sea was ever carved out of this earth. God had a plan, a bride for his son, Jesus Christ. Look over at Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, and we get an idea of the plan of God Almighty for his son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation of souls. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Notice that. Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He gave himself for it. Fellas, if you ever want to know how you are to fulfill the command of God as far as loving your wife, right there it is. It's as simple as it can be. How can a man love his... here's how you do it. You give yourself for her. You push yourself behind and you give yourself for her. That's how Christ loved us. That's for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. And so again, the Father's plan here. We see the idea, our heavenly Father. He sends Jesus Christ who loves the church and he gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. We couldn't be that lost. We don't bring any glory to God lost. We don't bring glory to God dirty. We don't bring glory to God in our sin and our shame. No. That's not going to bring glory to God. How can we bring glory to God? Oh, listen, Jesus hung on a cross. He took my sin. He took your sin. And he died on that cross to pay for our sin so we can be clean. So we can wear a robe of righteousness so we can be that bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Watch what he says. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, the bride. Praise the Lord. And the bridegroom. The Father had a plan. And this story of love was planned by God Almighty. Again, we're going to look at Isaac and Rebecca. And you know, it's a great story and a wonderful story. But ultimately, it's just a picture of what our Father planned for us. It's just a picture of his plan for your life. You know, it's so sad that so many people's lives are such a mess. And more and more, you know, you don't have to read the paper very long and people's lives are a wreck. You don't have to talk to a lot of folks for very much time and you find out, well, you know, so many people, their life is a mess. And all you have to do is just understand that isn't what God wants. God does not want that for your life. There are no accidents with God. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan just as he had a plan here to see the bride for his son. He has a plan for every one of you. Every one of us, he has a plan. And praise the Lord. This story of love was planned by God. And, you know, you're here today as part of God's plan. You need to hear how much God loves you. You need to hear how much Jesus loves you. And he died on the cross to pay for your sin. And that you can be saved. Don't care what you've done. Don't care how bad it's been. Don't care what all, you know, everybody here, there's a story in every seat. There's a story of sin in every seat. Praise God. He washed our sins away. Praise the Lord. We can be saved. And so the Father's plan, he has a plan. If you look back in your life, all that are saved, all of us, you know, you can see. Now you look back and you see where God put things together in his plan so that you could come to the place that Rebecca comes to in just a few minutes here as we go into our story, where you had a choice to make. You had a decision to make. And you see that plan. Oh, for some, it happened because of a trip to the hospital. For some, it happened because of a trip to jail. For some, it happened because of sorrow. For some, it happened because of a great thing happening. For some, it was somebody knocking on your door. For some, it was at the fair. For some, it was in a vacation Bible school. You were just a little child, and somebody told you about Jesus. For people like myself, it was over and over as Christians witnessed and tracts were given, and people told me, and they didn't give up, and I finally came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's plan. Praise God for His plan. Aren't you glad He has a plan? I am so glad. There are no accidents with God. There's no oops with God. He's not worried about anything. God has it all figured out. Number one, the Father's plan. Number two, we see the son's prosperity. The son's prosperity. I mean, this guy, he's telling the servant, I want you to go bring a bride for my son. But hey, this son is no slouch. This is a good, it's not really that hard of a job. In fact, as he describes Isaac, look at it in chapter 24 and verse 34 back in Genesis. Genesis 24 and verse 34. Here he says, and he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. So everything Abraham has is going to be passed on to Isaac. Pretty good deal. Amen. I mean, as Eliezer is looking for a wife, he doesn't have to say, hey, look, my master's son, he has nothing, my master's son, he can't really keep a job. He's not doing very well. My master's son, I think you ought to come and you ought to be his bride, but he's got a lot of issues. No, listen to me. All he's going to say is good things. All he has to say is good things about the master's son, Abraham's son, Isaac. Because Isaac gets all that Abraham has, and Abraham has huge, huge amount of things. Eliezer, he's not still single because he's a poor slob and he has nothing. It's not how it is at all. God has a plan. He has a plan. And Isaac's going to be a good choice for someone. By the way, Isaac had proven himself to his father. You remember the story in Genesis 22 when Abraham, God told Abraham to go offer a sacrifice, and Isaac was the sacrifice. And Isaac, what an amazing story that some say Isaac was in his maybe early teens or 12 to 15 years old or something. Some say he was older than that. But as a young man, he was laid on an altar by his father. And literally he was tied up on that altar, never said a word, never argued, never griped, never complained. And literally the father would have pulled his head up to expose the artery there and put a knife to it and was ready to pull on that knife and take his son's life at the command of God. But God provided a sacrifice. But Isaac was willing. I believe with all my heart, that's why everything Abraham had, I believe that's why it was all left, or it was going to all go to Isaac, because I think he was willing to do whatever his father wanted him to do. He was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. He was willing. Now, the comparison is very obvious with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Bible says he was not only willing to die, he did die on the cross. The Father, believe me, is very pleased with his son. He's very pleased with his son. Look at Philippians 2, verse 8. Philippians 2 and verse 8. And again, we think about Eliezer. We think about this servant of Abraham going to get a bride for Isaac. And there is absolutely nothing bad that he can say about Isaac. It will all be good as he's trying to convince a young lady. Philippians 2, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, talking about Jesus, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's the Lord Jesus. highly exalted. When we talk to somebody about the Lord, understand, you're not trying to get them to trust in someone who's a slouch. We're talking about God. When you go soul winning, you're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have nothing to be ashamed of at all. When you talk about Jesus, when you give out gospel tracts, when you invite people to church, hey, the message is about the Lord Jesus, whose name is exalted above every name. I mean, we have no shame at all. Why is it Christians are so silent? Why is it we are so silent about the Lord Jesus? Well, you know, you're not supposed to talk about Jesus in public nowadays. You know, you can get in a lot of trouble. Hey, he's God. Amen. Why is it that we would back down? Why is it that we're so afraid and so ashamed to talk about Jesus? Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. Let's talk about Jesus. Amen. You know, the servant, he's not going and with shame representing the Lord, his Abraham and Isaac. He's going, wow, you know what? I've got something to tell you. I've got somebody you need to meet. And you know what? We should not represent our Lord any other way than to say, you know what? I can tell you about Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. That message needs to go out more and more. Again, we're talking about a story of love. Aren't you glad somebody told you? Aren't you glad somebody was not ashamed? I think back to my days of being a heathen, and I was not the prettiest person to talk to about the Lord. I wasn't interested. My language was filthy. My look was filthy. And all those people that came and said, you know, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. And you need to be born again. They didn't come, you know, oh, I'm so ashamed to tell you this. They came saying, there is no other way. You want to go to heaven? There is no other way. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no other way. It's not Baptist. It's not Catholic. It's not Methodist. It's not any religion. It's Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other way. John 3:35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Oh, listen to me. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get all things. It's not, you know, praise the Lord, you don't have to go to hell. Hallelujah, you get to go to heaven, but you get all things. Amen. When you trust Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, I don't see it, but it's by faith. It's all by faith. Yeah, amen. Amen. Abraham stood behind Isaac, God the Father stands behind his son. Amen. You know, when a person gets saved, the Bible says they become joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. I don't know if you've ever had a loved one die, some relative, great uncle, somebody down the line there, and all of a sudden the lawyer calls you in and says, hey, you're one of the heirs, and he left you. You know. Sometimes that can be a real blessing. Can be an amazing thing. You know, you're one of, well, how about this? Jesus is heir of all things. And when I get saved, I become a joint heir with him of all things. That includes that mansion in heaven. That is on a street that is paved with gold. I mean, joint heirs with Jesus Christ for all things. Again, as Abraham tells his servant to go to find a bride for Isaac, the servant knows that he's going to tell some young lady, you need to realize that if you marry Isaac, you're going to have everything. Hey, soul winner, what are you so ashamed of? What are you so afraid of? Why do we back down? Why don't you tell the people at work? Why don't you talk to your loved ones? We have nothing to apologize for. The Son's prosperity. Wow, we have all things. Glory to God. All things. The psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, all these people, hey, you people go to church, you Christians, you're missing out. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm not missing out on anything. I guarantee you, when it gets down to this, and I don't get it, I don't have time to get into the whole story as far as the servant Eliezer. We're going to talk about him in a minute, but as he goes and he sees Rebecca and he realizes she's the one that is supposed to marry Isaac. You know, I guarantee there were people all around Rebecca when the question comes to her. You don't want to do, oh, come on, you're throwing, look at all that you're throwing away. I mean, you have this, and understand, that's the way the old world is about getting saved. You know, the old world says, oh, you don't want to get saved. You don't want to become one of those nuts. You don't want that. Listen to me, there is no better deal in all the world than getting saved. Amen. Publishers Clearinghouse can't beat getting saved. It's not possible. There's not enough money on this earth that can beat somebody trusting Jesus as Savior and knowing for sure they're going to heaven. You talk about a story of love. You talk about love magnified. You talk about people saying, well, I don't ever feel like anybody loves me. Hey, he loved you enough to die on a cross to pay for your sins. You can't beat it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Wow. The Father's plan. He had it all planned. The Son's prosperity. Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's the heir of all things. When I get saved, I'm joint heir with Him. Just like, and this isn't such a big deal, I guess, but everything I have is yours, babe. All my bills, all, no. But when we get saved, you know what we're saying? He's saying, I want you to have everything I have. I want you to have. I want you to have that mansion in heaven. I want you to have be on streets of gold. I want you to have celestial air. I want you to have a perfect place. I want you to have all that I have. I want you to have all of heaven's glory. I want you to have all of that. How in the world does anybody say no? Especially when you recognize that the alternative is hell. For all eternity. Number one, the Father's plan. Number two, the Son's prosperity. Number three, the servant's presentation. And now we consider Eliezer the servant of Abraham. He has to go get a bride for Abraham's son Isaac. And the servant has a presentation that he has to make. In chapter 24 and verse 10, it says the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. 10 camels, think about that. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And now again, you know, he has 10 camels. Some of them had supplies and gifts and all kinds of stuff. And others were just camels that were going to be used to bring back, obviously, the bride and anything that she had, possessions and all that. And it's quite just try to imagine this is about a month journey one way. And what an amazing sight as he goes off to try to get a bride for Isaac. And again, try to think about Isaac. You know, he's all excited about that, and he's looking forward to that. But the servant's presentation. He is sent to represent the son, Isaac. In my mind, I play through that every now and then. Eliezer's not going to talk about himself. Eliezer is represented, obviously, the father Abraham is represented by God Almighty. The son is represented by the Lord Jesus Christ. The servant here is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God doesn't talk about himself. He talks about Jesus. He's convincing us to be that bride. He comes to represent Isaac, Eliezer does, and the Holy Spirit represents Jesus. Eliezer is going to speak of Isaac, not of himself. We have so many people today wanting to emphasize the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. He wants to talk to you about Jesus. He wants you to call on Jesus, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Holy Spirit, he doesn't want to talk about himself. Oh, I feel good. I got the Spirit. No, listen to me. What you need to do is you need to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what the Holy Spirit wants. He's going to, you're his conviction and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, it's all about Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus was beaten for you. Jesus was spat upon for you. Jesus was punched for you. Jesus' beard was pulled out for you. Jesus was nailed to a cross for you. He talks about Jesus. Can you imagine Eliezer saying, hey, well, yeah, you need to know a little bit about me. No, she doesn't need to know anything about him. She needs to know about Isaac. Amen. And so he's not going to talk about himself. He's going to talk about Isaac. And the Holy Spirit's not going to talk about himself. He's going to talk about Jesus to get a bride for the Son. And again, as we think about this, notice the comparison. First of all, as far as Eliezer representing the Holy Spirit, Eliezer was sent by the Father, Genesis 24:4. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. The Holy Spirit was sent by the Father. John chapter 14 and verse 26. Look at it. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Again, notice, the whom the Father will send in my name. It's all part of the Father's plan, sent by the Father. Notice, they both were sent to speak of the Son. Go back to Genesis 24. You might keep your place there in John. Genesis 24 and verse 33, the Bible says, and there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. You know, he said, I don't have any, this is why I'm here. I've come a month to this place. I've gone through all kinds of things to get here. And I got something to tell you. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. He's become great. He hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants, maid servants, camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. That's what he came to do. He came to talk about Isaac, sent to speak of the Son. Back in John 16, we see the Holy Spirit in verse 13, and why he came, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, Jesus said, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Well, that sounds just like what Eliezer did, doesn't it? Yeah, that's exactly right. Sent to speak of the Son. You know, I go back and I think of the conviction when I was lost and on my way to hell as a teenager. I think about those times when somebody would give me a gospel tract and say, hey, you need to trust Christ. You need to be saved. And I remember maybe cussing them out, calling them names and making fun of them or something. But as I walked away, there was a still small voice saying, Jesus loves you. How could you curse the name of Jesus? He loves you. He has forgiveness for you. He has peace for you. And I remember thinking, you know, I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't want it. But he kept telling me that over and over and over again. Sent by the Father, sent to speak of the Son. You know, another comparison, both were sent with gifts. Genesis 24, verse 53, and this is just one example. The servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. That'll get her, won't it? Amen. Yeah. And he gave also to her brother, to her mother, precious things. He knows what he's doing. And God came to offer us the greatest gift in all the world, eternal life. Can you imagine? And the Holy Spirit says, wouldn't you like to have eternal life? Wouldn't you like to know for sure you're going to heaven? I don't care what people say. There's so many out there, well, I just don't believe this, I don't believe that. Yeah, but deep down, you know. Deep down, you know You're going to die. Somebody said, I don't think anybody can know. God says, ye may know that ye have eternal life. And God says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. All right, Eliezer, listen, how are you going to get her convinced? Well, I'm going to give her some jewels. I'm going to give her some diamonds. I'm going to give her some things that women like. Okay, Father, how are you going to convince people? Well, I'm going to promise them life. Come on, we spend thousands and thousands. It's a big issue. Health care. And why? Because we want to stay alive. We're worried about life. Oh, yeah, but the old body, it is going to die. Watch it. It's starting to. You know, when did that spot get on there? Wow. You have spots? Sometimes I feel like a Dalmatian. But how'd that get there? You know, and you look in the mirror and you say, oh, man. We die. And we're reminded of it. Just look in the mirror. You're reminded. You die. Yeah. What greater gift could be offered to us than life? Eternal life. Yeah. And that's offered by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us so we could be saved. You know what it's all about here? We all come to church. We have the choir sing and play the piano. And we do an offering and all that kind of stuff. We got it going on in different rooms and junior churches. Here's what it's all about. God has a gift. He has a gift. He wants to give you. Oh, yeah, yeah. The Holy Spirit, He's come to get a bride for the Son. But the Son, He said, here, I give you a gift. Eternal life. How long is that? Eternal. He calls it everlasting life. How long does it last? Ever. That's a good gift, isn't it? Oh, that's a great gift. He's sent by the Father. He's sent to speak of the Son. He's sent with gifts. And then He's sent to guide the bride. Back in chapter 24, verse 61, Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. He's sent to guide the bride. That's what the Holy Spirit does. John 14 and verse 16, back in John 14 and verse 16, and I know I'm going fast, but that's okay. John 14, 16, I'll pray the Father, He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And the Bible tells us that He is our guide. He guides us along the way. We'll talk more about that tonight. But He's also sent to finish the job. He's sent to get a bride for Isaac. Verse 56, chapter 24, Genesis, verse 56. And He said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. Hinder me not. He's very persistent. I read this and I think, wow, you know, that's hey, hinder me not now. I got work to do. Either you're going to come or not. Hinder me not. The Holy Spirit has all these hindrances. I was my own hindrance. You know, I honestly still can remember people that tried to lead me to Christ. Though I didn't grow up in church, still God put people around me. Isn't that something? It's part of His plan. And people around me tried to lead me to Christ. And I remember calling them every kind of name. I insulted people just to get them off my back. Get away from me. You know, next time a coworker calls you a name or something like that, understand, God's dealing with him. And the nastier he is, the more he's thinking about it. Because that's how I was. Huh? But he's going to finish the job. And again, you know, there's a lot of hindrances out there. There's other people that'll hinder you. What about that sin? You know, if you get saved, what about sin's not worth it? Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's not worth it, you know? Just get saved. He'll deal with the sin. You don't have to worry about sin. Just get saved. You know, I had a whole long list of sins. And I'm so glad that I realized I didn't have to deal with each of those sins. I just needed to get saved. Amen. I just needed to get forgiveness for sin. That's what you need to do today. Don't let all that stuff be a hindrance. Well, what about this religion? What about fooey on all that stuff? Don't worry about that. Just get saved. Holy Spirit speaking, dealing with you. Just get saved. The world, the flesh, the devil, they'll always have hindrances out there. And the Holy Spirit says, hinder me not. Hinder me not. Hinder me not. The Father's plan, the Son's prosperity. Wow, what an amazing, amazing thing that we can be saved. The servant's presentation, the Holy Spirit of God, as He tells us how much the Son loved us. He died for us. And we come to number four, the last thing, that's the bride's persuasion. The bride's persuasion. Eliezer goes, he finds Rebekah, he realizes that she is the one that is to be the bride for Isaac. And he's so excited about it. He goes to her family and he talks to her family. And the family, her dad, he says it's fine with him. But ultimately, here's what it comes down to. Verse 58 of chapter 24. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou go? Wilt thou? There's your choice right there. Every human being has to make the choice. When the Holy Spirit says, will you? Will you? Will you? It's just like when I proposed to Brenda. Actually, it was a little different, but the normal proposal is, will you marry me? Wilt thou? Will you? Yes, that's what it is. Hey, what are you going to do, Rebekah? It's up to you. Her dad said, it's all right with me, but that isn't going to get her there. Okay, there's a whole bunch of people that love for you to get saved. When I got saved, there were many people that wanted me to get saved. But that didn't save me, did it? No, it was when the question was asked to me, will you? Will you? I mean, who knows how many future potential brides out there have a whole bunch of people, you ought to marry that guy, you ought to marry that guy. Oh, boy, you're missing out if you don't marry that guy. But it's still their decision, isn't it? You know what? Salvation is your decision. If I could make it for you, I'd say get saved. But I can't make it for you. You have to make that decision. I had to make that decision when I was 17 years old, and every person in this room who is saved had to make that decision themselves. Some, it's been years ago. Some, it's just been recently. See, the Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And as the Holy Spirit convicts us, as Eliezer showed Rebekah all he could show and told her all he could tell about Isaac, it still came down to one thing and one thing only, and that was her decision. You know what? In all the tracts people gave me, all the soul winning people tried to do with me, all the times people said, you need to trust Christ as Savior, all the times I heard that Jesus died for me, and I heard the Christmas story, and I heard the Easter story, and I heard those things and went to some vacation Bible schools, and all those times, it all came down to one thing. What's that? Will you? Wilt thou go? Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, Romans 14:5. King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Acts 26:28. Almost thou persuadest me. And there may be somebody here. You know, I almost got saved 5 years ago. Well, I wanted to get saved a couple years ago, but I didn't. And well, I don't want to go to hell, and I do want to go to heaven, but well, I just can't really make that. And you know what? It all comes down to that one time where you make the decision, as Rebekah had to make this decision. Verse 51, behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her, go. That's what her dad said. That's what a lot of dads would like to say, probably, but no. But he said, take her, go. It's fine with me, but that's not going to do it. That wouldn't have worked with Eliezer. Wilt thou go with this man? Will you do it? Wilt thou go? What do you say? See, it's a personal decision. Her will had nothing to do with her ability. People all over the place, oh, I'll get saved when I clean up my act. has nothing to do with that. He died on the cross because of your act. Huh? You know, I just don't feel like I could live up to it. There's nothing for you to live up to. You get saved because you are lost. He'll show you how to be found. Rebecca doesn't have to do anything here except say yes. That's all she has to do. She has nothing else she has to do. There's no deal for her. Rebecca, as long as you'll do this, then it's not like, salvation is not like that. Salvation is totally, what do you say? Hey, in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to give an invitation, and I'm going to say, wilt thou? If you're not saved, you come, we'll take a Bible, we'll show you how to be saved. You can walk out of here knowing that heaven is your home. Any person, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done. It has nothing to do with Rebecca. It has everything to do with her saying yes or no. That's it. Breaks my heart that people will walk out of here saying no. How sad. I did, but I'm so glad I finally said yes. I'm so glad I got another opportunity to say yes. No, it's just her will, not her ability. He asks, wilt thou go? It implies leaving. It implies something's got to happen. I've got to do what he says. And you know, that's how salvation is. You can't be saved by your own ideas. You can't be saved by your own works, not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. For by grace he is saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by being religious. I'll just be more religious. No, that's not it. That's not it. Wilt thou go? Will you leave all your ideas and everything else about how to be saved and do it the way God said to do it? What's that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's saying, God, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sin. Please come into my heart and save me today. It means I'm going to forget about everything else, and I'm going to come to Jesus Christ and him alone to save me. Amen. 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 The bride's persuasion. Hey, will you be persuaded today to be saved? Many are already saved. Many here have already trusted Christ as Savior. Praise the Lord for that. But I'm convinced there's some here today, you've never done it. Never trusted Christ, never been born again, never been saved. You know, I often wonder what would have happened to Rebecca had she said no. It was her choice. What if she said, you know, there's no way in this world. There is no way in this world I'm going to. How do I know he's not ugly? How do I know he's really got all this stuff? How do I know all? Here's how you know. By faith. Amen. That's it, Rebecca. By faith. We'll talk tonight about the trip home. And that's got to be an amazing, amazing thought, you know? By faith. That's how you get saved. Well, how do I know that there's really a hell? How do I know there's really a heaven? How do I know there's really a God? How do I? By faith. God said so in his word, but a lot of people want to doubt that. Well, how do I get it? By faith. That's how. Preacher, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I believe God. That's how I know. I just believe God. I believe it with all my heart. You're not going to convince me otherwise. It's totally by faith. Rebecca, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go by faith. And my friend, if you're not saved, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to be saved by faith. Age of 17, I bowed my head down on my bed at my home, and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, and save me. And I'll tell you what. Did. There is no question. Was it written across? No, there was nothing written anywhere. I'm telling you, though, he took the sin, the guilt away, and he saved my soul. How'd you come? I just said yes. And I said yes by faith. The Father's plan, that is his plan. Before the foundation of the world, he planned that he would save your soul if you'd call on him to save you. Son's prosperity. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He died on the cross to pay for my sin, and I can be joint heir with him. The servant's presentation. The Holy Spirit of God convicts and convinces us. That's that inside right now in your heart. I don't care what your face is saying. I don't care, you know, what you may be doing. In your heart, you know, this is the right thing. And the bride's persuasion, convinced enough to trust by faith. Wilt thou go? Yes, I'll go. She said, I will go. What do you say today?